The New Testament scripture reading, let's take it from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1 through 52. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. That's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1 through 52. Please pay careful and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Then he, that is Jesus, arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" testing him. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." In the house, his disciples also asked him about the same matter. So he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for as such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now as he was coming out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at his word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and the end to come, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and scourge him, and spit on him, and kill him. And the third day he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Thus far the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 10 covers a number of topics. First of all, in verses 1 through 12, God teaches us that marriage is permanent. As long as both husband and wife live, they are to remain married to one another. But because our hearts are hard, sometimes God permits a divorce in certain cases. And so God has also provided the possibility of a divorce. And then in verses 13 and 16, we are taught by God that children are members of the kingdom of God. And so they should not be hindered from coming to Jesus. We have a number of children in our congregation. We've been blessed with children, some of them yet to be born. In the last year or two, a number of children have come into our congregation. And it's important for us to remember, both those of us that are parents and those of us that are not, because of the vow that we took, it's important for us to remember that we do everything that we can to encourage our children to come to Jesus by faith. Because such is the kingdom of God. And even those of us that are adults need to be reminded that we must become like little children in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verses 32 through 34, Jesus, as a great prophet, predicts his own death and resurrection from the dead. This is the central fact of Christianity. And so Jesus reminds his disciples and reminds us that we are to know of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then in verse 45, Jesus interprets the meaning of his death and resurrection, because in verse 45, Jesus tells us that he gave his life as a ransom so that we might be set free. But not only is this fact central to our salvation, it is also an example of humble service that we must render to each other. Just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross as a servant so that we might be set free of our sins by the ransom that he offered, so you and I must humble ourselves in order that we might serve one another. As long as we stand on our own privileges, as long as we stand on our own rights, we don't humble ourselves and we don't become servants. Jesus is our example of someone who humbled himself in order to serve others. And then, one of my favorite passages in the scripture, verses 46 through 52, blind Bartimaeus receives his sight from Jesus. And what really strikes me in that passage is the way so many people were trying to discourage Bartimaeus from coming to Jesus. But Bartimaeus persisted in his faith, and he continued to call upon Jesus even after he had many encouragements to stop. Even after people had urged him to keep quiet, he kept calling on Jesus. In the same way, you and I, brothers and sisters, must call upon Jesus for our salvation. We must ask him for what it is that we need. And there are going to be very many discouragements to us to not do so. But you and I must overcome those discouragements. In spite of all of the persecution we may feel from the world and from the flesh and the devil, in spite of what we may feel in our own hearts as hindrances or as obstacles to calling on Jesus for our salvation, we must nevertheless call on him, because he's our only hope. He's our only Savior. God has provided only one ransom so that we might be saved. His name is Lord Jesus, and we must call upon him for our salvation. No matter what discouragements we may feel from whatever source we may feel them, we call upon him as the only one that can save us. Let's pray together. Lord, we do call upon you. We recognize that you, our Lord Jesus, are our only Redeemer. You are our only Savior. You are our Lord. And we ask you to save us. We ask you to reconcile us to God. We ask you to sanctify us by your Holy Spirit. We ask you, O Lord, to make us your servants. Help us to humble ourselves so that we not only serve you, but so that we serve one another. And, O Lord, we also pray for the pastoral concerns that are represented in our congregation. We think of our pastor, Andrew Barnes. We ask that you would be with him, and that you would keep him safe as he travels. We pray that his time away from Grandview would be restful and refreshing for him. We thank you for the ministry that he has at this church and in our congregation. We pray that you would bless that ministry. We pray, Lord, that we as a congregation would give him the honor that he should have as our pastor. We pray, Lord, that we might be eagerly awaiting his preaching And we pray, Lord, that we might anticipate his pastoral work among us. And we pray that this would be the case not only for Pastor Andrew, but we pray that it would be the case with our ruling elder, Dave May. We ask that we might give him the submission that we should. And we pray, Lord, that you would give him wisdom so that he might know how to conduct himself as a shepherd of the flock here. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the work of our deacons as they consider this new meeting place. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and understanding. We pray, Lord, that if it's your will and if it's good for our congregation, that we would be able to move into this new place. But if, on the other hand, Lord, there might be some problem that we can't anticipate, some problem that you only know about, we ask, Lord, that you would make it clear to us that we should not move to that place. Provide some other place for us in which to be. We thank you that this congregation has grown so much that we feel the need to move somewhere else. It wasn't that long ago, Lord, it seemed to us that the congregation here was in the midst of the possibility of being dissolved because there were so few people attending here. And now look at our congregation. Look at all the people that are here, Lord. We rejoice when we think about all the people that have come here to worship you. Lord, we pray that even more people would come here and worship you in our midst. We pray that this community and the surrounding communities would see something very special and something unique about us, not because we ourselves are special, but because your grace has put something in us that only you could put there. We pray that they would be attracted to you because of the love that they see in us, love for you, love for one another, and love for the lost. And Lord, that we pray too for our nation and for our state and for our communities. We know that this is a very troubling time, a very difficult time in the life of our nation. None of us knows exactly what's going to happen next, Lord, but we know that you know. And we pray that you would work out all these things for the glory of your name and for our own good. We pray, Lord, that if you decide to discipline our nation or if you decide to discipline our church, we pray, Lord, that we would know how to submit to that discipline. Help us to remember that you discipline those you love. And we pray, Lord, that even in the midst of persecution and trials and troubles that may come our way, from whatever source they might come, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to remain faithful to you. And that you would use these trials and these tribulations to take sin from us and to help us to grow in our sanctification, help us to grow in our holiness and in our love for you, even in the midst of troubles and sufferings and persecutions. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.